You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
On Saturday, Arkansas will play its first top 10 matchup in 10 years. It's been 10 years since 2011. When Arkansas played a number one versus number three matchup against LSU. That was the last top 10 matchup for the Razorbacks until tomorrow when they take on Georgia. Razorbacks ranked number eight in the AP poll. Georgia is number two. Matt Jones joined by Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Clay will be in Athens for the game. The rest of us are going to cover it remotely due to space constraints and things of that nature. Clay, what are you looking for as you get into Athens later and tomorrow when this game kicks off?
I'm excited about the game. It's hadn't had one with these kind of trappings and rewards for the winner, and so many things can happen good for the Razorbacks if they could pull out this upset. And make no mistake, it's an upset. They'll need to have everybody healthy. What am I looking for? If Arkansas can play clean in special teams and stop the run on defense as they have been, I think they'll be in the game in the fourth quarter, and we'll see who makes the most plays. Special teams led Arkansas down against the top teams last year. They just weren't a match for teams like Georgia and Alabama in special teams. I think you remember the punt return that Dante Smith returned against Arkansas that kind of ended all hope in that game, and then the block kick against Georgia. So can Arkansas have their special teams hold up in a top 10 game or against a top 10 number two opponent? I guess that's what I'm watching for.
Special teams is going to be big. Like, it's big in every game, but when you're playing a team like Georgia, who, you look on paper, Georgia is a more talented team. And I just, in a game like this, where you want to compete and play well, show well, and try to get out with, another signature win, you can't give any ground on special teams. That's a quick way to fall into a hole. But I'm really looking forward to watching these defenses play. Like, Georgia has been the most overwhelming thing in college football to this point on the defensive side. And Arkansas has not been bad either. The only thing that, has kind of tripped up Arkansas is, some explosive plays, but it's just been one per game. And I think Arkansas's got to limit those explosive plays, because I think Georgia, they're more than capable offensively of, ripping off some big plays. But, the Arkansas's defense is playing really confident. And I've mentioned this several times before. I just love the way that they gang tackle, and they run to the ball like crazy. And David Pollack was on Twitter earlier this week, just talking about how much fun it is to watch Arkansas's defense, and he's not kidding. So I think we're going to be in for a treat, with these two defenses.
Arkansas opened as an 18.5-point underdog last weekend, the early betting lines, and it hasn't changed. I've been really surprised by that. I thought that line would probably narrow a little bit. I thought Georgia would be probably a double digit favorite, but 18.5, that seems like a really big margin, especially given who these two teams have played. Georgia's one notable victory to this point was over Clemson, and I think we all know that's not the same Clemson team that we're used to seeing the last several years. And I think Arkansas has beaten a couple of really good teams in Texas and Texas A&M. I've really been interested to see what Texas has done the last 2 weeks since they left Fayetteville. They've won two games over Rice and Texas Tech by a combined 93 points.
Matt, I think that's a good point, and I think part of it is quarterback play. And I think the odds makers in Las Vegas, they notice what goes on at that position more than any other. And, Texas made a change in quarterback, and they've been prolific, maybe even a juggernaut since that they made that switch. And I'm not sure those teams are anything special. It's kind of like Georgia pounding on Vanderbilt. You can kind of name your score in when the talent is that much unevenness. I think when you look at an 18-point spread like that, and I don't think coaches really care about the point spread per se, but they use it when it benefits them. And this is a respect card that Sam Pittman and his assistant coaches will play, that nobody in the country thinks that you're any good. Look at this. And we're still trying to prove ourselves, and we're still trying to convince people that we belong. And in some degree, that's fair. I mean, that's, you know, if the nation thinks they're an 18-point underdog to Georgia, they hadn't arrived yet, and they've got things to prove. I don't think this is a great Georgia team. I think it's a great Georgia defense. I think their running backs are okay. They're good. They run hard, but I don't think they're, you know, their special talents. Their offensive line isn't anything incredible. They're okay. They're playing a young center. That's what Arkansas has taken advantage of the last 4 weeks, is young play at center. And I think Arkansas can play with these guys. Quarterback is not a runner. I think in college football, if you do not have a running quarterback, that you can play man-to-man and you don't have to worry about the scramble so much. So those are kind of early thoughts, Matt, on this game.
I think if I had to guess why the spread was, you know, where it is, it's just because Georgia's defense is, you know, just kind of squeezed the life out of everybody that they've played. And like Matt said earlier, like that Clemson win, Clemson is not the team that we thought they were when that game happened. But you look at last week's game, and I understand that Vanderbilt is far from the standard, you know, in the SEC and in college football. But Georgia had more points at one point in the game than Vanderbilt had total yards of offense. That's pretty incredible. And so they just kind of squeeze the life out of people and make things really miserable. But I do think Arkansas can play with Georgia, and it's for a couple of the reasons that Clay just mentioned. I think there's some, you know, maybe a few weaknesses on that offensive line and questions in the run game. And Georgia didn't, when they played Clemson, they didn't even really try to, you know, establish the run game from what I remember. Or maybe it was Clemson didn't even try to establish a run on Georgia. So maybe Arkansas's got a shot to do that. We'll see. But I don't know. Maybe I kind of wish I had a do-over on my prediction in the magazine.
Clemson tried to establish the run against Georgia, but they just couldn't get anything going. I think they ran 23 times for -2 yards in that game. An incredible.
I think Uwe Ungalale had about 14 of those. So there were like 9 carries by running backs.
Yeah, I think there were 7 sacks too that contributed to that rushing total.
Right.
What Georgia has done is, you know, I think, of course, Kirby Smart came over from Alabama. He's hired some old Alabama assistant coaches or people who have been in that Nick Saban tree. And so he's got a staff of coaches, or has had a staff of coaches, of people who've been very familiar with that Alabama model. I can't think of another SEC team that has been able to copy what Alabama has done in some respects better than Georgia has. Now, Alabama has changed a lot offensively since Kirby Smart left that staff. I think the Lane Kiffin influence was really strong and is something that, you know, continues to prevail in Tuscaloosa. But in terms of being really physical, being really deep at your offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, safeties, Clay, that's something that Kirby Smart has really taken from his time with Nick Saban and done a great job of replicating in Athens.
All those things are absolutely true, Matt. And I'll add to that by saying what Kirby Smart has brought is blitz mentality, creativity, and speed with their blitzes. And Dan Lanning, who's the defensive coach, I mean, you can say Dan Lanning's the defensive coach, but Kirby Smart is heavily involved just the same way that Coach Saban is involved with defensive game planning at Alabama. And so that much hasn't changed. And they are very creative with their blitzes. They time them, and then they come with great speed. And you better establish the run, and you better have some confidence that you can run it on passing downs, because that's when you might hit a big play against a Georgia blitz. And we'll see if the threat of a running quarterback, KJ Jefferson, slows down some of those blitz packages. If not, then you're going to have to scheme up blocking to account for 6 guys, because Georgia will bring 6, and they'll be with such speed that you may have to run some quarterback draws, or you may have to run some quick passes because of the speed of that blitz. But that's something to watch, how Arkansas's backs and tight ends handle this blitz.
We talked about the point spread earlier. I think part of the reason that point spread has stayed as wide as it has all week has been the uncertainty about KJ Jefferson and Treylon Burks. And Sam Pittman's certainly using this to his advantage. He's not giving away any secrets, whatever he's asked about them. Kind of a humorous moment on the SEC teleconference earlier this week. Someone asked him kind of a two-part question, one part being KJ Jefferson. Well, Pittman answered the other part. The reporter comes back, and about KJ Jefferson, Pittman just says, "I didn't answer that."
Yeah, that was pretty fun. And it, like, even after the Texas A&M game, you know, somebody asked Sam about the status of, you know, Ricky Stromberg and Dalton Wagner and what he thought about them. And he, you know, he was pretty witty, and he said, "Yeah, they're playing tonight. They played tonight." And that's all he said, and just kind of left it there. You know, he says he's not going to lie to us about it. Injuries and that kind of thing, but he's also going to hold information from us and not tell us, you know, everything that we want to know and maybe fans want to know about the status of these guys. But I expect KJ to be fine. I think they kind of dodged a bullet with that knee injury last week, that it wasn't anything more than just kind of a knee bruise. And I think that's the kind of thing that can heal throughout the week. And if it bothers him again, you can go back to that numbing cream or whatever they used last week, and I think that'll be fine. I think they're just being really cautious with Treylon Burks too. Like Clay wrote on the board, I know Jalen Williams on the basketball team, he's been spotted wearing a walking boot, and I think he's had some ankle problems. But Clay said, you know, a kid rolls his ankle these days, and they throw a boot on a kid just as a precaution so it doesn't worsen. I think that's kind of the same with Treylon Burks. That's a guy that you have to be, you know, really cautious with, because he's such a big part of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I kind of like to have some of that numbing cream just in case. I mean, you just like to have that.
Same here.
My little travel kit. It's like I've got some Bionic Freeze or whatever that is, but I don't think it's the same as the numbing cream. You know, and I've had a bad day out on the rocks fly fishing, and my knees are a little bit sore. That numbing cream might come in handy. But I think I don't know what kind of dancer Sam is, you know, out there at Bobby Sox or whatever the hot place in Fayetteville is anymore.
I don't think it's Bobby Sox anymore.
Okay. Well, just wherever it is. But I bet you that as far as answering reporters' questions, he knows how to dance. And he especially dances when the injuries came up. I mean, he's told us, "Guys, I'm not going to answer the injury questions. I'm not going there. You can ask them, and they'll continue to be asked." And then every once in a while, he'll give out a little bit of information, so people are still going to answer. But I think by and large, we won't know until the middle of the first quarter how much he's danced. And I'm talking about in the meeting room, not Bobby Sox.
I don't think anybody's dancing at Bobby Sox anymore, Clay. Sam Pittman, I think he's been very influenced by his time with Kirby Smart. I don't mean this in a good way, a bad way. It's just an observation. He seems a lot different in his dealings with reporters and some other things that he does than when he was here as an assistant coach in 2015. You can tell very influenced by the things that he saw at Georgia. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports video on demand app. Check out the Fan Zone, and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Arkansas and Georgia, 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN. They'll also be on College Game Day. It'll be the featured College Game Day game of the week. Game Day is going to originate from two different locations in Athens on Saturday morning. The show is going to begin at 8 a.m. Central at the Myers Quad. That's on the University of Georgia campus. It's a large, grassy area. 2 hours at Myers Quad. That's about 1.5 mile southwest of the stadium if you're going to be in Athens. And then at 10 a.m. Central, the show's hosts are going to relocate to Sanford Stadium, and they're going to do the final hour of the show from the West End Zone Pavilion inside the stadium. Of course, Kirk Herbstreit, one of the Game Day stars, is going to be on the call Saturday along with Chris Fowler and Holly Rowe on ESPN. First time Arkansas has been in a Game Day game since 2006 against Tennessee. And it's going to be interesting to look at the TV ratings for this. I've been paying attention to ratings more than just this season, but certainly been this season. Arkansas so far has played in the number one rated cable game of the season against Texas. Now, the networks always get more eyes on their games because more people can access the networks than they can a cable network. But then against Texas A&M last week on CBS, that game ended up with 4.1 million viewer average and a 2.1 rating. That basically means that of all households, 2.1% of households with television sets were tuned into that game. Pretty big rating numbers for the Razorbacks. Andy Staples of The Athletic wrote a nice column earlier this season, talked about the 4 million club, that if you can get 4 million eyeballs on your game, that's a threshold that networks are really paying attention to. And Arkansas and A&M got that on CBS last week. Earlier this week, Arkansas announced that they're going to play Texas Tech in a future football series in 2030 and 2031.
Be pushing 40.
Clay, you'll be in like your 60th year of covering the Razorbacks by that point.
Yeah, I'll be in a walker, and I'll be using that numbing cream a lot.
What do you think about this series, though, renewing it with Texas Tech? Obviously an old SWC series, but they have played since Arkansas came to the SEC. This isn't really a novel concept because they've played here just not too long ago. Patrick Mahomes came to Fayetteville and played really well in 2015, a year after Arkansas had gone down to Lubbock and won.
Yeah, I figure Patrick Mahomes the third will be playing about the time Arkansas gets to Lubbock. That's been a place where I've seen some unique games. And one of them was when Arkansas ran it, like, it seems like they ran it 80 times. I don't know. It was probably only about 65, but it was, that was the shortest football game in the last 30 years because the clock never stopped. And I can remember that it also led to some Bielema comments that, and after beating Texas, about, you know, the fullback play and the whole state of Texas, nobody plays a fullback and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, Arkansas was a dirty word with high school coaches in Texas. So go out there and play the Red Raiders and, don't throw any bulletin board up there. I don't think Sam Pittman will. You just wonder if Kendall Briles would still be the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. I mean, who knows? None of us may be covering the Razorbacks. They may have media in the bleachers by that time. I don't know what's going to happen. About what year did you say, Matt?
2030 and 2031. I don't think Kendall Briles is going to be the offensive coordinator anymore. Coordinators don't hang around that long.
Scotty will have 12 kids by now. Matt, you'll have 7 or 8.
Don't tell my wife.
Both of you will have swim pools in the back. Y'all will be out of this media game. Y'all will be in corporate communications at Walmart and JB Hunt. And you'll be watching on, you'll have 3 screens and you'll have all this electronic stuff. And you'll have old Clay come over and say, "Hey, we've got some milk and cookies for you, Clay." That's what's going to be happening in 2030.
And who knows if Flatland Cavalry is going to be still together in 10 years, but I've put in a good word to see if they can play a show at the Blue Light the weekend of that first game. So I've already planted a seed.
Let's get predictions now. Arkansas and Georgia, obviously one of the big games in the SEC this week, but there are others. Let's start with Mississippi State at Texas A&M, Clay. How do you think the Aggies bounce back?
Yeah, I go with Texas A&M just because I think they're better in the trenches and they'll figure a way to get their passing game going. If not, might be a long day. Might be a long season for Jimbo. You know, that $9 million might seem a little bit too much money. But I think that what was off with Texas A&M is that they just didn't have a passing game. The receivers, you know, they're beat up there. Did they get any of those guys back? Their tight end did not look like a playmaker like he had the previous year. So he's obviously still not fully healthy and ready to go. And I think that's Jalen Weidermeyer. They got to get that guy going. Isaiah Spiller is still a good back. But you just would think that that Texas A&M defense would get some turnovers from, you know, the way the Mike Leach likes to throw the ball around.
Yeah, Calzada's got to lean a little bit more on Weidermeyer. Like those tight ends, especially when they're as talented as that guy is, he can be, you know, kind of a security blanket for you. They only hit him once in the Arkansas game, I think, for 18 yards. But I figure we'll see a heavy dose of Isaiah Spiller. He's a really good back. We'll just see if he's recovered from that Hayden Henry hit by Saturday.
Florida is at Kentucky. Kentucky hasn't beaten the Gators in Lexington since 1986.
I think that continues. I go with Florida and wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game, but it just seems like Florida has a lot more athletes than Kentucky. And I give credit to Stoops. They play hard and they can throw it a little better than they have in the past. They've added that West Coast, sprinkled that offense in. It's a little bit different, but I think that overall, this is a game Florida will they'll win by 8 to 10. It'll be a little more than one touchdown.
Yeah, I'll go with Florida too. There's far too many athletes on both sides of the ball there.
Kentucky's defense has been really good this year. That seems like that's a little bit of a sneaky game. Kentucky might be able to upset the Gators there in Lexington. Okay, now usually the SEC puts its football schedule together 2 weeks in advance. They're holding off on the October 9th games, or at least for some of them, until they see what happens in these next three. Arkansas and Ole Miss on October 9th could be on CBS. It could be an early morning kickoff on ESPN. Really going to depend on what happens this weekend. Auburn at LSU. The next week, Auburn plays Georgia. It's in Death Valley. Auburn has not won in Death Valley since 1999.
I think Auburn is in disarray. And they don't know which quarterback to play, Nix or Finley, and that's an issue. They do not look like they're in sync in their passing game. They fired their wide receiver coach. They haven't had open receivers. The head coach and the wide receivers and the offensive coordinator have been in a feud. I think Auburn has better talent than they're playing right now. And I think that's the culture change. So I will go with LSU.
Yeah, I'm going to go with LSU too. I think LSU's favored by 3.5 points in this game. And I just don't know. I don't trust Auburn enough right now. I think they've got some issues at quarterback. And you saw that last week against Georgia State. You know, you pulled Bo Nix in the fourth quarter, I believe, in favor of TJ Finley. And if TJ Finley plays, you know, that's kind of a homecoming game for him going back to LSU. They're going to be, imagine they'd be pretty nasty with him if he ever takes the field. So I'll go with LSU there.
One of the things about the end of that game with Finley leading the winning touchdown, I saw a photo or a shot from a camera they isolated on Bo Nix. And he was standing at the edge of the player box on the other end of the field, away from the offense. And there wasn't a teammate within 20 yards of him. Now, that's not a good look. So I think that you probably are going to see Finley.
LSU's, I don't know if they're a bad team. They had the loss to UCLA, but UCLA has looked pretty good this season. Kind of interesting to see how they're going to bounce back throughout this year. Two big games of the week in the SEC involve a former assistant coach going back to a place with their new team. Ole Miss at Alabama, the return of Lane Kiffin to Tuscaloosa. Alabama's favored pretty big in this game, but Ole Miss has been able to score all season. This is a game that when they play, it seems like it's always going to be like 50-something to 40-something, 60-something to 50-something. Expect a lot of points to be scored this week in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I'll go with a lot of points scored. Yeah, I don't know if they'll hit the over-under. But it's just think that Nick Saban's probably spent the year reevaluating the way he schemed that game. And the first half, it was rush three or two, drop, and dare him to run. And that's what Kiffin did. And it was that's not going to happen this time. I believe you'll see Alabama play a sick'em defense and try to put some pressure and get some stops. You don't have to get many stops. I don't think that Alabama's defense will stop. Ole Miss's defense will stop Alabama a whole lot. There was a brief period where I thought the Ole Miss defense might be something special when I watched the Louisville game, but in the second half, that feeling went away. It looked like they schemed them up pretty good. I'm talking about Louisville, and I think that Alabama's talent is far superior than Louisville, and I think that you'll see Alabama score some points. Now I'm not saying the point spread's wrong, but I think it could be a 2-touchdown game.
The over under in that game is 79, Scotty.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot of points. But these two teams, they like to score on each other. I think Alabama will win this game, but I give Ole Miss a little bit of a shot to probably cover the spread, just because they've been, you think about Lane Kiffin's offense, you think about tempo and Matt Corral slinging the ball all over the yard, but they've got one of the better run games in the league this year. And we saw a couple weeks ago with Florida, they ran for 200 plus yards against Alabama. So they're a little bit susceptible to the run, though. Nick Saban's probably figured a few things out with his run defense, but I think Ole Miss, they've got a shot to hang around because of that run game.
Before we get to Arkansas, Georgia, Clay, a thought on the line play, because we talked about this going into the A&M game last week, that these next two games are probably going to be Arkansas's two most physical outside of the Alabama game in November. They held up really well against Texas A&M's offensive and defensive line, but this feels like a different animal that they're going to face this week against Georgia, maybe if nothing else, because of the number of players that Georgia should be able to rotate in, especially on defense.
Yeah, that's true for sure. And I think that you have a chance to, I think this is the biggest test for this offensive line, and they've passed everything. They've gotten a hat on a hat and been consistent. But this is like you say, it's a different animal. I mean, it's the depth is what's significant, in that they're going to roll players just like the Arkansas defensive line. If there's one place that Arkansas has gotten an edge, well, I guess two, all year their defensive line has been superior to the opposition's offensive line, and it's been at two positions. John Ridgeway has overwhelmed the center. I mean, it's just been a slugfest. He's just stood up the center. In almost every case, they're either freshmen or redshirt freshmen, and this is the same thing. Georgia's center is a redshirt freshman, and he's going to be playing against a grown man that wants to assault him. And if you double team Ridgeway, then that really makes it fun for those linebackers playing behind, and they've had free rein to run without being blocked. It was just like the one play that A&M had. It wasn't that they blocked Grant Morgan. He just took a false step, wasn't in the right gap. But I think Trey Williams has been just an unbelievable matchup for whoever's been the left tackle. And I don't know that there's going to be anybody that is in the SEC that's just going to just completely neutralize him. I think he'll make some plays, and I bet you he hits JT Daniels. And and let me flip back to the Alabama game. They're going to come after Corral and hit him. That might serve Arkansas well next week if they get after Corral the way I think that they will. But and in the Arkansas game, if Trey Williams and John Ridgeway can get off the way they have, that will be the telling factor. And if Arkansas is able to play with Georgia and shut down their offense, and then it'll be a low scoring game in a, you know, a turnover or kicking game mistake, you have a great shot at an upset.
Sam Pittman said that he had two first round linemen at Georgia, Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, both tackles, said that they both struggled with Trey Williams when he was at Missouri. That's the reason he said that whenever Williams went into the transfer portal, he wanted to get there. He joked on his radio show this week that when he saw Trey Williams was in the transfer portal, he said he ran a 5.940 to Barry Odom's office to tell him about it. Then he kind of stopped himself. Who am I kidding? It's about a 9.940.
That was just 10 yards. That was just 10 yards. It wasn't 40.
Let's go to the prediction now. Arkansas and Georgia. Vegas expects this to be a low-scoring game. The over-under just 49.5 points on this. And, of course, Georgia's an 18.5-point favorite. It really tells you they think that they're going to keep Arkansas's offense in check. Clay, who do you have in this game?
I got Arkansas, and I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's going to be a four-quarter game. And, I wouldn't want to tell anybody in that Arkansas dressing room that they got no shot at winning, because I think they do.
I've got Georgia in this game, but like I said earlier, I wish I had a do-over on my magazine prediction pick.
You can do over.
I would have shaved off about 10 Georgia points and given Georgia 24-14. I think Arkansas is going to be more competitive than anybody else that Georgia has played this year. And one of the things that has really stuck with me this week, I heard it on the coaches' teleconference. Sam Pittman was asked about, you know, going back to Georgia and, you know, just the emotions that come with that. And he said he doesn't want to take his team into Georgia and disappoint the Georgia fans and give them, you know, have his team go out and not play well and give the fans who came to that game a good game. And I think he's, you know, he's going to have his guys ready to play. And I think Barry Odom's going to have a really good plan. And I think he's going to lean on, you know, Ridgeway to continue being a bully. And Trey Williams, you know, I talked to his mom earlier this week. I think you're going to continue to see him dance, as she said it. She said he's got some fancy feet. And I think he's going to give those left tackles that he might end up having to face too if he plays like he did last week. I just think Georgia's got just a little bit too much firepower and then defensively, like Jordan Davis is such a problem. Like he runs, he's a monster. He's like John Ridgeway's size or bigger, and he runs like a guy who plays a different position on defense. And they've got not a bunch of guys just like him, but just a little bit behind him talent wise. And I think that makes a difference.
I think Georgia will win a close, low scoring game, but I will say this. I think that Sam Pittman has got endless motivation for this team this season, given where the program has been. I've been really interested to watch these locker room speeches that he gives and then that other coaches give. Like, for instance, go watch the dynamics between the speech that Pittman delivered to his team before they played A&M versus what Jimbo Fisher did. When you are a great team and you're expected to win, I just think it's different leading into a game, and there's more pressure on you. I think all the pressure is on Georgia in this game. The pressure's not on Arkansas to win this game, because like Clay said, a lot of people think they're going to lose. And so that sometimes can be a difference. One other thing to note, since Kirby Smart's been at Georgia, they've lost four times at Sanford Stadium. Three of those losses have been 11 a.m. Central kickoffs, like this one. They've won eight straight games. The last time that they lost at Sanford Stadium was in 2019, when South Carolina came in and won an early kickoff game in double overtime. Just something to watch this weekend. Arkansas and Georgia, 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN. We'll have plenty of coverage before, during, and after the game at wholehogsports.com. And we'll be back with another podcast early next week to recap this game and look ahead to the Razorbacks game against Ole Miss in Oxford. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.